want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is Renew, Remember, Repent, and Return. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Listen, never think that sin is okay with God. Never. You have to really get that printed down in your heart, because so many people, the day we live in, there's so much compromise within even the body of Christ that somehow we think that it's okay. You know, and one of the reasons for that, and I'm not saying this to talk bad about anybody or any religion, but there's this idea that there are some sins that it's okay, it's not too bad. But then you have other sins that, oh, you better not do that, because those are really bad, right? We kind of have that in our culture. And, you know, they call them venial sins, and others are called mortal sins. Can I tell you that all sins, no matter what they are mortal sins? Because the wages of sin is death. There are no sins that, you know, God will let it slide. No, all sin leads to death. Never think that it's not going to have horrible consequences. You know, you can repent and you can be forgiven, but think about it this way. How much better would it be to have never gone down that road in the first place and give that devil an inroad into your family? Well, we've all done it. We all understand that we've all set bad examples. We have all made mistakes. We've all, to some degree, I hate to even call it mistakes. It's not so much mistakes as we just willfully sinned. We knew what we were doing, but we wanted what we wanted when we wanted, and we didn't care what anybody thought, including God, right? And that's most humanity. That's all humanity, actually. So, but unfortunately, in a situation like that, it's the children that are seeing and learning and following the action of their parents, because they're young and impressionable, and then those children fall into the same traps, and usually the children take it to a place the parents never took it to. I mean, that's just the way it is, right? I mean, we live in a culture, we've talked about this often, like in the men's Bible study, where we live in a culture where there are just certain things that are acceptable. I know for me growing up, it was acceptable, you know, as a young kid. This changed after our family got saved, but as a young kid, it was acceptable to go to a wedding and everybody's drunk, including the children. You got little kids filling up a glass out of the beer keg and drunker than Cooter Brown, but it's acceptable because you're at a wedding. Or at a crawfish boil. Well, it's acceptable, right? So there's cultural things that can cause serious, serious issues for the children that grow up in those cultural things. So, you know, they're the ones that typically end up with the worst consequences. The parents get older. The parents many times will mellow out. And then the parents get grieved because of what the kids are doing. And they can't understand why their kids would do that. Well, they're doing it because they saw an example and they followed that example. Now, that's not always the case, because you can be a good parent and your kid just want to be a knucklehead, right? And they're going to do stuff you never did. But I can guarantee you, if you're setting a bad example, typically they're going to follow the bad example, because we have this nature. Our nature is bent toward evil. It's not bent toward good. So what happens is kids typically, because of the bent toward evil, instead of taking all the good from the parent, they usually take the bad stuff and they run with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I guess y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And that's not always the case. I'm speaking in general terms, okay? There is hope, though. You know, many times it's a grieving thing to see your child indulge in something that, and you realize, man, they're indulging in it because I gave permission to it. And so it's bitter fruit. Doesn't taste good. So, but there's hope. And somebody has to tear down all the high places. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about high places. It's those things in our culture where sin is acceptable, where we've made it acceptable. And so here comes Josiah in this situation. And he's hungry for a move of God. He's a young man, but he's hungry for a move of God. And that nation came back from the greatest decline in sin in its history. And this young man was able to bring it back. I mean, what an awesome thing. It was a great revival. And please understand tonight that God, I believe, with all of us, is not through with your situation. Can I get a bigger amen? He's not through with your family. He's not through with this church. He's not through with your potential. He's not through with this country. He's not through, right? You're not so far away that God cannot make you into a great man or a great woman of God. And when I say great, I'm not talking about great in the eyes of the world. I'm talking about great in the eyes of God, someone who makes an eternal difference in people's lives. It was many years since anybody was concerned with God at all in Israel. Now, we've only been a country for about 250 years. I mean, that's a long time, right? But we've only been a country about 250 years. So this situation that Josiah is coming up out of is something that went on much longer than that. So one of the things that Josiah wanted to do was he wanted to clean the temple up. And so while they're cleaning the temple, they find a treasure. They find a book. We understand it was a scroll. And they dust that thing off, and they find that it's the Word of God. This scroll, this book, had not been even mentioned for 320 years. So imagine you live in a country. I mean, look, America's got its flaws. It's got its problems. But imagine you live in a country where the Word of God has not even been spoken in 320 years. Think about that. We've only been a country for 250 years, and they're doing child sacrifice and everything else. So Josiah is not just, he's not just working with a bad family situation here. He's working with an entire nation that is completely backslidden and knows nothing of God. He's working with a people who are totally lost. And so when they found the book, to them, it was a great historical find. But to Josiah, who the scripture says had a tender heart and who humbled himself, this was the most important find ever. He reached up and he grabbed his king's garment, the Bible says, and he ripped it off of his back. And again, this shows humility and it shows sorrow over his nation's sin. Josiah said, "We're getting ready to do all that is in that book." Now think about that. He's dead serious, but he is in such a wicked culture. And yet, because I believe God raised him up to that place of authority, he says, "You know what? Like it or not, we're about to do what's in this book." Now, I'll tell you, if President Trump tried that, there'd be a mutiny and a civil war. Can I get a better amen? If any president ever tried that, you know, they could lead by example, but if they try to say, you know what, as a country, we're going to do everything that's in this book, my goodness, they'd be burning down towns all over the place. So because of Josiah's revival, Jeremiah is called to prophesy and to preach. A few others who came out of that revival, these are big names, Daniel, Ezekiel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all those guys, they came out of that same time frame. At around 20 years old, Josiah begins to tear down altars. He begins to burn them with fire and then throw in, you know, he didn't even leave the ashes in the country. He begins to throw the ashes out. I mean, he wants to remove it all. An 800-year-old problem was taken care of by Josiah, who had the fire of God. Now, when you go back and you read through all the kings all the way back, you'll see that it was a problem that went all the way back. I mean, king after king after king, where they were allowing all this false god worship. So he went throughout the whole nation of Judah, and everywhere that he found what was called a grove or a high place or an idol, he broke it down. He broke down the altars of Baal. He threw the pieces on the graves of the false prophets. He was in their faces, showing them that their false prophets were weak and that his God was strong. And so Josiah was sold out for God. Josiah gets Judah cleaned up, and then he moves to clean up the northern kingdom and to cleanse that land also. Now, if you remember, Israel at one point was divided into what they called the northern kingdom and Judah. So, and one carried on the name Israel. The northern kingdom called itself Israel. And then the southern kingdom was called Judah. So he had such an impact that he cleaned both of them up. 342 years before, Solomon had built shrines for his wives, and Josiah tore them down. Josiah was serious about revival. Judah was in even worse shape than America. And think about it. One man brought revival. So are we to believe that we are to go down as just weak and backslidden while allowing the enemy to seduce our nation and our families into apostasy and immorality? No, we can do something about it. I wrote a song years ago called Fight, and it's about that we must fight for what we know is right in our hearts. We must fight for the Lord, but the understanding is that we don't fight with guns. We don't fight with bullets. We fight with the Word of God as we're led by the Holy Spirit. But we fight. We don't just sit around saying nothing. Like Pastor David Cook, who was one of our professors at the Bible College, used to say, sitting around, you know, twiddling our thumbs until Jesus comes. He's called us to do something. So Josiah did something radical. Now, remember, they had the sacrificial system back then. So he calls for 30,000 lambs, 33,000 bullocks, 7,600 cattle, and 800 oxen for an offering to God. That's pretty radical. I mean, he just says, you know what? We're going to go all out. We owe God a whole bunch of sacrifices that have not been made. We're going to make them up. How many of you know that's a lot of meat right there? Look at what happened, though. The people of Judah experienced a revival. Now, I said all that. That was really the introduction. So there are four things that they needed to do to experience revival, and those things are in the title. But number one, let's go through them. Number one, they renewed their covenant with God. You know, it's not a bad thing to do from time to time. I do it myself, to just kind of sit back and say, Lord, where am I? Where am I with you? Where am I in my obedience with you? Where am I in my relationship with you? I mean, am I drying up? Have I lost my first love? Is the fire of God still in me? Do I still really care about the things you care about? Do I love that which you love, and do I hate that which you hate?
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.